a new website promoting a Christian worldview on the humanities.
I called the site veracrux.com, tagline Truth at the Crossroads. What I had in mind there, truth and crossroad or cross, it's a reference to Proverbs 1-9, where we hear two women calling out in the streets, Lady Wisdom on the one hand, and the voice of folly and sin.
In the news, a Calgary MP has launched an official House of Commons petition on a bill that would remove criminal code prohibitions against disrupting worship services and impeding pastors and clergy in the performance of their duties. A critique of Ottawa's new foreign aid policy, debating the origin of human rights, and drawing some parallels between challenges faced by the church in Nazi Germany and the culture we're facing today.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
A Calgary MP has launched an official House of Commons e-petition on Bill C-51. That's the law we told you about earlier this summer on Lighthouse News. It would specifically repeal Section 176 of the Criminal Code, which makes it a crime to disrupt any worship service or assault or prevent anyone from conducting such a service. Conservative MP Tom Kmitch is not buying the various arguments the government's putting forward in defense of the new law.
They're saying that there are other sections of the Criminal Code that cover it already. Section 175 covers causing a disturbance. Section 264 criminalizes uttering threats. Section 423 is about intimidation. And Section 319 is the incitement of hatred. The problem I have with their logic on this one is, why would you want to do something four different ways when you could do it just one way, which is Section 176? The second part is they say the section is obsolete, which is not true. During the debate, I mentioned to them that just a few days before in June, a lady had been charged in Ottawa, actually, with interrupting a Catholic mass, breaking a statue of Mary.
He says the change also doesn't make sense in a context where Parliament has just passed another law toughening penalties specifically for mischief against religious properties if that mischief is motivated by hatred. In fact, he says the broader context shows an increase in those kinds of crimes.
This is kind of produces a report on the number of hate crimes being reported, and they showed an increase. Specifically, people of the Muslim faith had a 60% increase. In that same report, they also showed that Catholics were the target of 60% more hate crimes. So when hate crimes are up and we're trying to deter those types of crimes, why would we then take away a section of the criminal code, like Section 176, that specifically protects faith communities and Christian communities from having their services baptized? Baptisms, funerals interrupted.
Kmitch says the threshold to have the petition introduced in the House of Commons is fairly low, but he's hoping for a substantial number of signatures.
To get the attention of the House of Commons, you need 500 signatures, which is pretty low. I would prefer to get at least 7,400 signatures onto it. That would be my great hope. 74 would match what the BC Humanists on their website, they talk about this petition to get rid of one of the sections of the Criminal Code, an anti-blasphemy law. I'd like to get at least 7,400 to show that people of different faiths take their faith seriously and take the disruption of their ceremonies very seriously. But higher than that would be even better.
You can sign the petition through the link www.keep176.ca. The deadline to sign is early November. The federal government has fundamentally changed the criteria it uses in determining how to allocate foreign aid to developing countries. Last month, Foreign Affairs Minister Chrystia Freeland unveiled a policy that specifically says foreign aid will be delivered through a feminist lens, with a special emphasis on the provision of abortion services. The decision is coming under increasing criticism. The Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops released a letter to the minister earlier this month, which is highly critical of the policy. ARPA has also been working on this. Tabitha Ewart is an articling student with We Need a Law, and she's written a blog post on this issue with a specific focus on the way the policy is being applied in Africa.
They basically reduced women's rights to the right to have an abortion with no reference to the fact that Africa is largely pro-life. About 90% of countries in Africa have restrictive abortion laws that go along with a mindset that life before birth is worth protecting. But Canada is ignoring that and saying, no, we want abortions to be legal.
The government recently committed $97 million toward aid in the Congo, a country that's been embroiled in civil unrest for 20 years.
The conflict that they've had has really terrorized women. Sexual assaults are very common. They've also had a lack of proper health care services. About 14% of women are suffering from chronic undernutrition. But the Liberal policy here is very focused on abortion right away. And the interesting thing is, in the Congo, abortion's actually illegal. So that means that money over there, it's not even just going to fund illegal abortions, it's going over there to fund changes in the law.
The Catholic Bishop's letter echoes many of the same concerns. Bishop Douglas Crosby from Hamilton told the CBC that the policy doesn't do anything to unify Canadians on foreign aid because, quote, with so many different backgrounds and religions, there is no consensus in Canada over abortion. And to state that there is universal agreement on a single set of Canadian values is itself contrived. Two ARPA staff members were in Winnipeg earlier this month for what was billed as the Understanding and Answering Summit on Human Rights. The event was sponsored by Ravi Zacharias Ministries. We Need a Law director, Mike Schutten, was there, and he says one of the highlights was a debate between a Christian and an atheist on the source and origin of human rights.
Whenever I watch these debates and listen to them, I always have a sense of sorrow, actually, for the atheist who is trying to make the case for human rights, for origins based on science. And you could see throughout the debate how his understanding was constantly moving every time it was challenged. He had an understanding of right and wrong, but he didn't know how to articulate where that came from.
And ARPA's grassroots engagement manager, Colin Postman, has put up a new blog entry on the website about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. ARPA's staff have been going through a biography of Bonhoeffer in a weekly devotional, and Postman says he's been struck by some of the parallels between our present cultural context and some of the challenges facing the German church during World War II.
There's some striking similarities in that whenever there's something that approaches the church as a threat, immediately there's this response to either roll over or find some way to change the discussion so that it can be allowed within the church doctrine. And so it's just those kinds of parallels in saying today, how is the church willing to compromise whenever something comes along that potentially threatens us? Are we willing to compromise in order to make our lives easier?
We link to the blog post from the Lighthouse News homepage this week. Back with more in 30 seconds.
Canada is a great place to live, and we enjoy many freedoms, including freedom of religion and freedom of assembly. The Criminal Code protects these freedoms. For example, the code prohibits obstructing a minister who is performing religious duties or disrupting a church service. But a new bill, Bill C-51, would remove this clause. Please send an easy mail to your MP explaining the importance of upholding the freedom to gather for religious, social, or moral purposes without fear of disruption. Visit easy.arpacanada.ca.
And we're back on the program. On the feature this week, a look at a new media enterprise promoting a Christian worldview on the humanities and on the human condition generally. The enterprise is a new website, and the man behind it is Dr. Scott Masson. He's an associate professor of English at Tyndale University College in Toronto. In the past, Dr. Masson's also been involved with Joel Boot's Ezra Institute and the Westminster Classical Christian Academy in Toronto. First of all, Scott, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
So you've started a new enterprise, a new website called veracrux.com. We'll link to it from the Lighthouse News homepage. Talk to me a little bit about what it is and what you're trying to achieve with it.
Well, what it is a news aggregator website like Drudge or Zero Hedge. There are a few different sites out there that are news aggregator sites like this. And it's going to draw together articles from across the media landscape to try and bring a little cogency and coherence, maybe a bit of wisdom, to the news. The reason I'm doing it is that I'm a humanities scholar, and about 30 years ago, when I was still an undergraduate, deconstruction came into the academy, as did a variety of identity group approaches to the humanities, which I think have effectively destroyed the humanities from within. And we're seeing that spilling out now into the broader culture with the way in which human interests are being addressed, not from a common human interest perspective, but from identity group perspectives. And that's devastating. And I think that there's a need for a Christian voice on human nature to be expressed in the news. And the news aggregator site will just bring the articles all together, and my commentary will form a part of that.
So what kinds of links and stories will you aggregate, if we can use that word? Is it primarily stuff written by Christians for Christians, or is this a broader exercise to give people a wider, although somewhat guided, exposure to what's out there?
It's not primarily stuff written by Christians for Christians. There may be some of that, but it certainly won't be the majority. It will be a broader approach, bringing articles from across the media landscape. And what they will have in common is that they will speak to the concerted but quite varied attack on the human person, which is really the foundation of Western jurisprudence and Western culture and Western politics and family law and ethics and so forth. But these are being addressed not just in Christian venues, they're being addressed all over the media landscape, on the left and on the right, on the blogosphere, etc. But there's a lack of coherence drawing those stories together, and I think that I can do that as a Christian that's working in the academy, and that's what I think I am aiming to provide. So it's not trying to be partisan in a political sense, it's giving a human counsel on matters of human interest that are broadly shared even outside the Christian community. So I hope to appeal to people who aren't Christians.
You know, I'm looking at the site right now. I'm just on it and just sort of click randomly on the homepage. And the material's kind of all over the place. You know, Trudeau government unveils reproductive health projects. Victor Davis Hanson, has globalism gone off the rails? Here's one. Young Japanese people are not having sex. I mean, it's all over the place, and it's really kind of an eclectic collection. Is that on purpose?
Well, yes, because the broad range of interests are all human interests, and, you know, they break down into, I mean, at the top, I think there are headings: politics, arts and culture, education, business, religion, family, law, science and technology. But all of these have in common, they have to have a basis in foundations, answers to fundamental human questions about beauty, truth, and goodness, which are a part of what historically those who are in Christendom would regard as the human good, which are a product of the personhood of the triune God, the three personal nature of God himself and the divine human nature of Jesus Christ. That leads to the humanities, the liberal arts, the seven liberal arts that were in the medieval university. That common ground is expressed in the kaleidoscopic range of interest that you see on the website. But I think there is a common ground. The common ground will be articulated in the commentary that I give to it.
So where does this fit into the broader context of media that Christians are following, or at least should be following? I'm thinking, you know, LifeSite News, Gospel Coalition, Lighthouse News, this program. There's already a fair bit of stuff out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, the site's still developing, I guess, but my sense is that there is no curated news aggregator site of the sort that I am currently working on. Drudge is out there, which is, broadly speaking, drawing conservative Republican articles. Zero Hedge is out there on a fiscal conservative type landscape, but there's nothing there that is addressing the humanities in its broadest sense and giving a Christian voice to it. I called the site veracrux.com, tagline truth at the crossroads. What I had in mind there, it's a made up word, by the way, truth and crossroad or cross. It's a reference to Proverbs 1-9, where we hear two women calling out in the streets, in the marketplace, if you will, Lady Wisdom on the one hand and the voice of folly and sin. I think without a unified understanding of all the diverse stories that are out there, it's very easy to lose your way and hard to orientate yourself to all of these things that are happening. I think all you can do is despair, and I'm seeing a lot of Christians doing that, in part because there's no voice of wisdom. I don't claim to be the repository of wisdom, but I think I do have some wisdom on what is happening in the humanities and how it plays out. So that's what it's providing.
So how badly is this needed within the context of the day-to-day material that Christians are exposing themselves to on a regular basis? I mean, whether we like it or not, most people say they're too busy to go surfing the web for specific stuff like this. They generally still get their news from sources like the CBC or the Globe and Mail or maybe the National Post. But that's precisely because they think you're too busy to seek this stuff out. How do you change that mindset?
Well, in a sense, it's a reflection of that. They're too busy to seek it out, and therefore it's being sought for them. And secondly, even when they find it, how are they going to process it? And I don't think that they've been given the tools and the machinery to deal with postmodern literary criticism and the way it works out in politics today and identity group studies and the ways that the binary nature of human beings, male and female, is being attacked, not only from within the academy, in politics. They don't know how to process that. Did they have a background in postmodern literary theory? I don't think so. I think most Christians avoid it like the plague, understandably in some ways, but you need that understanding in order to make sense of contemporary affairs. So, yeah, of course, where would you go when you're busy to find out information about this? I think a site that draws those diverse interests together and yet provides a unifying voice to it is sorely needed precisely by the people who are too busy.
The site is called veracrux.com. Scott, thank you very much for your time.
Not at all. Thank you.
And just a programming note to close. We're still on summer production schedule here at Lighthouse News. In fact, I'm heading off on holiday shortly, but we hope to have the next program posted 2 weeks from now on August 8th.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next month for another edition of Lighthouse News.